Boa. There's a lot of things that I want to talk to Boa about. And talk to Larry Boa. And then we're going to invite, I call them callers, but in the streaming podcast world, they're former callers, but you're part of our podcaster generation, whatever. And we'll have you, we'll have people connect shortly. But I also want to mention that sponsoring right now, this fine program, this fine podcast, is ABC Tickets. Anywhere in the world, I've known these people for 30 years. Anywhere in the world, they can get you tickets. 800-355-5555, ABC Tickets. All right, I'm going to talk about the Eagles and the Sixers later, but right now, Philly started spring training last week, and joining us now, he's still active with the Phillies, and that would be Larry Boa. You know, Larry, people have always asked me, and I just thought about this coming on, have always asked me, well, when are you going to stop working? And I always tell people, as long as I'm having fun, I'm not going to stop working. So obviously you enjoy working with players, and you just enjoy the smell of the grass in the baseball field. Am I wrong there?
I do. I love it. You know, when I come down here and you get to see the young kids that are coming up through the system. Baseball's been my entire life, Howard, as you well know. And I honestly tell you, as long as I can keep doing what I'm doing, you know, I go out and hit fungos and help Bobby Dickerson with the infielders and throw BP. And then I get to see the maturity of some of these young kids that I watched last summer. Then they're getting invited to the big camp this year. So it's still a lot of fun. I think when it becomes a job, then I'll hang it up. But right now, it's still fun.
Yeah, so you have the energy. I mean, you obviously, you're there in the morning, you're out on the field. I don't know if you do as much as you used to. You hit fungos, you juice, but because the other coaches are working with them. But, I mean, it's still enjoyable, and you're not tired afterwards. Yes?
When I'm tired is when I come home at night. But other than that, I get up at 5. I'm up at 5 o'clock. I go in, work out. And then we start our day usually around 9:30, and we're out of there about 2:30, and then starting Saturday, obviously the games will start. So I'll probably on road trips I'll stay back with guys that stay back and have their workouts going. So I'm very much involved, and in, you know, I thank Rob Thompson and the coaches, and of course Dave Dombrowski and John Middleton for letting me do this. I mean, they could very easily say, "Bo, you've done a good job. It's time." But they like me being around. I like being around. So it's a good fit right now. And I'm just a little disappointed between you and me that we have not won a World Series with this team because, you know, Howard, the games aren't won on paper, but this team on paper, it's a good baseball team. I just something's got to give here because, you know, that window doesn't stay open very long. Okay. When you get in your 30s, and we got a bunch of guys getting there in their 30s, so
yep,
we got to take advantage of this.
Yeah. Now, and that, all right, so obviously the window is going to close, but what are the needs that you think this baseball team needs right now? And again, it's early in spring training, there could be trades. I don't think there'll be a lot of them, but what are the needs right now of this Phillies team? Because they're not as good as the Mets. Would you, and you would agree with that?
I disagree on that. I think we are. I think
well,
we're better.
I disagree on that.
Well, you know what? You're looking probably maybe at the big offensive bats they got. I'm looking at our starting pitching. I don't see anybody, with the exception of the Dodgers. Obviously, they're signing everybody. Our rotation is better than anybody in baseball, next to the Dodgers. I really believe that. We got five starting pitchers that can dominate a game. This Lizardo, if he's healthy, this is a great pickup for us. Again, you know, we keep our fingers crossed. I know he pitched with the Marlins, but this guy's got great stuff. And you throw Sanchez and Ranger, and of course the two guys at the top with Wheeler and Noah. That's five deep. And then you got Walker that's if somebody happens to stub a toe or something, and you need extra pitchers, whether he starts in the bullpen or maybe he beats somebody out. I like the depth of our team. If I had to pick one thing, I would say the thing that's hampered us the most the last 2 years, I'm going to give you Houston beat us in the World Series. I thought Houston was a better team. Arizona and the Mets, I can't buy into that. I respect those two teams. We've got to be more consistent pitching and hitting when we get in the playoffs. We have not done that. We have not done that. And until we do that, we're going to be eliminated quick. We got to improve our hitting and our pitching in these playoff games, and we haven't done it the last 2 years.
All right. So I am going to say one thing. I hope I never see Taiwan Walker throw a pitch again for the Phillies. You know, come on. It's just you're keeping him because you can't get rid of the Phillies. Can't get rid of him, and he's making too much money. Stop. I don't want to see Taiwan Walker.
Well, let me say this. He's only been here 2 years. This is the best shape I've seen him in, and I'm sure he's checked out the tea leaves, and he sees that we have 5 good pitchers. And he's worked hard. I want to see how he does in the game. I don't want to get carried away watching these pitchers right now. They all look like they're throwing 300 miles an hour. Hitters aren't ready to hit them. And when you listen to some of our meetings, I'm saying, we might go 162-0 here. You know how spring training is. Everybody's positive, which they should be. But I want to see when the hitter gets in, the opposition gets in there, we have umpires, the stands are filled up. I want to see pitchers pitch them. I don't get too enamored of what's going on in BP right now.
All right. You're talking about on paper and your good team. And you're right. You don't win on paper. However, and you are a baseball guy. And baseball people know you need to put the ball in play. I remember the 1980 season when you guys beat Houston. And that was the game that really obviously got you into the World Series, and you were there to win the World
right.
Series. And when you were behind to Nolan Ryan, who never loses
never.
After the seventh inning when he has the lead.
Never.
And you got on base. And you said, I remember a comment you said, well, Pete Rose told you, just get on base. Just get on base. Okay, does anybody do that? And that inning, you guys exploded and ended up winning the game because you got on base and then...
Cody got an infield hit, then a bunt by Greg Gross, and then a big double. Pete walked to bring in a run, then the double. But it was one of those innings, like you said, Nolan Ryan doesn't lose games. Go check his record out when he has a lead in the seventh inning. I think he's lost 3 or 4 games. And I was checking his Netflix thing out on the Nolan Ryan story. And they asked him the most disappointing loss in his big-time career. And he said, it's not even close. When the Phillies beat me in the Astrodome. So it was devastating to him. It was great for us. And, you know, in order for us to get there, you saw what we had to do. You were well involved in what we were doing. Schmidt
was there.
Big home run in Montreal. We had to win 2 out of 3 up there, which was very difficult to do. And once we got over that hump, you know, we beat Kansas City in the World Series. But I really believe that team, as well as the 2008 team, the talent on that team, we should have won another one. I really
okay,
believe that.
But the thing in 1980, and the point I tried to make is, you got on base, and you got on base because you made contact. And this team is just, you know, I am so tired of hearing the broadcasters. You know, it's too available to them. Exit velocity and launch. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, you know, you hit the ball and you run. You see the ball, you hit the ball and you run. You know, Schmitty didn't worry about launch angle, and he was always in, well, if you got good topspin, the ball's going to carry. Whatever the case may be, you've got to make contact, and this baseball team doesn't do it well enough. I think that's why you lost in the playoffs. I can't see. Don't you think they've got to? And everybody says, "Oh, we got to be better at making contact." How much do you think the players really pay attention to that, and they're too worried about launch angle and exit velocity?
I'll be honest with you, you know, because I go to most home games and I go down and hit with Bobby Dickerson, the infielders. I don't hear those players talk about launch angle. That's for the analytic people. I'm sure they read about it. I'm sure they know what their launch angle is and their exit velocity, but I don't ever hear them by the batting cage saying, man, I hit a ball last night, the exit velocity was 101. I don't hear that. I think that's good for the fans when they read it. I think it's good for the analytic people. But you're right. We have to put the ball in play. Now, I'm not telling you Harper's got to hit a single. There's certain guys on this team that are going to hit home runs. Schwarb, Hart, Cassidy. Yeah, but those when those three guys, when you talk about home run hitters, and you've seen a lot of home run hitters in Philly, they go through streaks where they're going to strike out. They're going to strike out. But you can't have seven guys striking out. You can have two or three. But those three big boys that hit in the middle of the lineup, that hit the home run, I don't think anybody wants them to try to hit a single. But in my opinion, this is me now. When you have two strikes on you, there's got to be a two-strike approach where you make the other team handle the baseball. When you tote that bat back to the dugout, nobody can make a mistake. You put the bat in the rack, you sit down, nobody has to handle the ball. Put the ball in play, things happen. Whether they make an error, whether you get a bloop hit, whether you get hit by a pitch, you make things happen. And we have not done that in the playoffs the last 2 years. The other thing we haven't done, we go way out of the strike zone the last 2 years, way out of the strike zone. And I don't know if it's trying too hard. I don't know if they know what they're trying to do. But against that Met team last year, man, we swung at a lot of bad pitches. Arizona, we swung at a lot of bad pitches. And as you well know, Howard, when you get in the playoffs, you're not hitting five home runs in it. No. Too good. You're not getting six hits in a row. Those games are 3-2 for the most part, 2-1. You got to execute. You got to get on base. When you get a man on second, somehow you got to get him to third. When he gets on third, the infield's in, somehow you got to put the ball in play. And we have not done that consistently.
You make that point, and that brings up a point that I wanted to make. Man's on second, nobody out. The next hitter, I don't care who it is, got to get the man to third. How many players give themselves up to hit the ball to the right side to move the runner in today's game or in this team?
We have a few of them. We don't have as many as I think. This is my opinion, as many as I think we should. But I'm not asking Harper to hit a ground ball second. I'm sorry. If Harper wants to hit one in the upper deck, go ahead. I'm not really asking Schwarb, although I've seen Schwarb get out in front of ground balls and pull them over there in the hole for ground balls to move a runner. But you're right. The game has changed compared to when we played. And I don't know if it's because they are getting paid to hit home runs. They're getting paid to get on base. I've always been taught you want to have one more run than that team across the way. Any way you can get it. And I was a firm believer. I was taught at a young age, you get one run in the first, they got to get two to go ahead. You get two runs, they got to get three to go ahead. But that philosophy has changed because the game has changed. And you see a lot of teams. And because the pitching, when you play 162 games an hour, the pitching on a lot of teams is not very good. You can get by with not moving runners. You can get by with striking out 12 times in a game and win a baseball game. You can't do that in the playoffs. You face too good at pitching. The other team is there for a reason. Like I said, you don't get 9-8 games very seldom in playoffs. Well, you get a whole lot of 10-7 games, 6-5 games when you're playing second division teams now in baseball. There's a lot of second division teams that we beat up on, and you should beat up on them. But we got to learn how to beat up or not beat up and learn how to beat teams when we get to the playoffs. And we haven't done that consistently.
You know what? You have your ideas. I gave Rob Thompson my ideas last year, and my lineup was better than the one that you didn't win with. And I remember asking him, we were doing a show, and I said, Rob, I don't like Schwarber leading off. And I gave him my lineup. He says, well, look how many games you won. I said, how did that work in the playoffs? And there was silence. The playoffs are different. So my lineup, and I think he's going to change it, was Stott, Turner, Harper, lefty, all that nonsense.
Right, right,
lefty,
right.
Righty, left. Okay, Stott, Turner, Harper, and Bohm, who makes better contact than anybody on that team.
Yeah.
And then Schwarber. And Schwarber's still going to get his pitches. And if you get guys on base, you're still going to get your five at-bats a game. Okay, that's my. And then after that, you can Realmuto and all that. You can put
Cassidy
all the other guys
and,
in.
Okay. Yeah.
So what would your lineup be?
Man, that's a good question. I think your lineup's going to come into play here in spring training. I'm not saying every day. I mean, Thompson sort of hinted that he's talked to a lot of the players already about experimenting with the lineup. I know that Turner's name's been mentioned at the top.
Yep.
Stott's name's been mentioned at the top. I think Stott could be a very good leadoff hitter. He's not afraid to hit with two strikes. He'll take walks. He played banged up last year. He didn't have the kind of year he wanted. I look for him to have an unbelievable year. I would have those two guys near the top. You got Harp, obviously, who's as good as anybody. And I agree with you with Bone. Bone puts the ball in play. And when you put the ball in play and you got traffic on the bases, you create runs. And then you got Schwarb, who can come up with two or three men on and pop one. And then we haven't even mentioned Cassidy or JT. It's a deep lineup. And it's a matter of getting the right pieces together. And I think you're going to see in spring training, unless I'm being deceived right now, and listening to Tom's talk and watching the meetings he's had with the lineup guys, I think they're all in as far as let's experiment here and let's see what happens. No, I'm not saying it's etched in stone. He's not going to go back to Schwarb. But right now, I think he's leaning to find out how we can put a lineup together where we can create more action on the bases, get some more stolen bases, and you still have your big boys in the middle to hit balls out of the ballpark. So well, I like Turner leading on. I do.
Okay.
I just think that getting back to taking more pitches, I do wish that he would be more aggressive stealing bases. And, you know, I've talked to him a little bit, and he makes some sense when he says, you know, I can steal anytime I want. I want to protect. I don't want to bang my body up. You know, when you steal 60, 70 bases, serious. It wears you out. And you're playing the middle of the diamond. Man, your arms get beat up. Your hands get beat up. I get where he's coming from. But I look for him to be more active on the bases this year. I mean, I think he understands that we need him to create havoc out there. And he can create havoc. This guy's an unbelievable offensive player.
Stott, when he, first of all, you know, mixing them all over the lineup, I don't think did him any good. But he can work a pitcher.
Unbelievable.
And the leadoff hitter is somebody you want. You know, if you get a leadoff hitter to get 9 or 10 pitches right out of the chute for a pitcher, that kind of sets up maybe the rest of the game, not just the rest of the inning. So that's why I like Stott at the top of the lineup.
I like
Stott. Listen, okay, that's my lineup.
I can deal with Stott. I can deal with Stott and then have Turner in second. I have no problem with that. I think that's, you know, both guys can run. I mean, Stott, that's deceptive speed. This guy can steal some bases. He runs the bases as well. I will say this, though. If you watch Schwarb, there are a lot of games where he works 8 or 9 pitches first at bat. He doesn't just go up there hacking it and trying to hit a home run the first pitch. This guy, I'm not going to say he's not going to lead off. I'm not going to say he's going to lead off. But I've seen him games where he goes stretches where he works the pitcher. I'm sure that I understand where you're coming from.
Well, you got to have speed at the top of the lineup, too. You got to have speed.
I would rather him do damage with 2 or 3 men on. I agree with that.
Correct. And I want speed at the top of the lineup so they can kind of shake up the pitcher and, you know, maybe he makes a mistake and he throws a fastball because he's worried about somebody stealing. You know, this is
just. Or he does a slide step because he's. And he doesn't get behind he doesn't throw a good breaking ball because he slide step. Yeah, you create havoc. And you know what? They don't even have to run. The threat of running's over there. They're going to deviate their pitches from the stretch. High leg kick one time, quick pitch the next time. There's so many things that you distract this pitcher from because he's worried about if it's Stott or if it's Turner. Hey, in one pitch, they're going to be on second. Another pitch, they could be on third. They create havoc. And I think I think Thompson's looking for some of that. And we're going to see. I'm anxious to see our lineups, not the first week, because I don't think a lot of guys are
going
to. I do know Bowman, Stott are going to Lakeland for sure on Saturday. I was talking to them today. But I'm anxious to see after we play about a week of games, what kind of lineups we use.
All right. So John Middleton, what was it, 2 years ago or last year? You know, went off on winning it. Well, I want that bleeping trophy back here. What was? And John's a very passionate. I like John.
John.
Very, you know, a passionate owner, wants to win.
Yeah.
Wants to do the things that it takes to win. Now you can't just be Dodgers and spend everything. even though, you know, he's got more money than we'll ever dream of. But that's not the point. The point is he's a good guy. So what was his message to the team this year?
Well, I'll tell you what he tried to hit on, and I think he did hit on it. He made a point about bringing up two Hall of Fame players that the Phillies have had. Well, one of them went in as a Toronto Blue Jay in Holiday, and Mike Schmidt. And he said basically Holiday went down and reinvented himself. This guy's a Hall of Fame pitcher, had to make adjustments, wasn't getting anybody out. Went to the minor leagues, changed his delivery, changed everything. Schmidt, he said, I know Schmidt had three different stances in his career. He said he made adjustments. The crux of this meeting was we have to make adjustments. And he brought up two Hall of Famers. If Hall of Famers can make adjustments, everybody should try to make them. I'm not saying they're gonna, they should try it. And I think that was basically the point he was trying to make, that guys, we have a good team here. We won the division last year. It's not good enough. We got to make some adjustments when we get into the postseason. And he brought up two guys, Hall of Fame players, that literally changed things during their course of their careers that leapfrogged them into the Hall of Fame. And he made some good points. He made some real good points.
You know, I remember Mike Schmidt telling me at times, because the pitchers adjust to the hitters if they're good enough. Right. Now the hitters have to adjust to the pitchers.
Exactly.
So he moved up in the box. He moved back in the box. He went further, deeper in the box.
He'd have his hands high. He'd have him drop. He made all kinds of adjustments.
But
now you're talking about one of the greatest players to ever play. Now, if he can do that, and I'm not saying whoever tries to do this stuff is going to be successful, but why not give it a shot, especially in games like spring training right now? They don't mean anything. You want to be healthy when you break camp. This is the time to experiment on a couple things. You got two strikes. Go into a two-strike mode. Hit a ball the other way with a man on second. It's not embarrassing to give yourself up that way. And again, I don't want the home run hitters doing that. Maybe in the eighth or ninth inning it'd be nice, but I'm not going to say, hey, Hart, make sure you hit a ground ball here and get him to third. No, hit one in the upper deck. That's what I want. Tom's does a good job with his communication, believe me.
Tom.
He does a great job. He talks to everyone. And I know he's going over the lineup with him, saying, hey, what do you feel like? What if I do this? And I think that's what you need, especially with the players today. I don't want to say they're different in as far as a mental approach, but you got to basically tell these guys what you're thinking and get feedback from them. Because you know what? If you talk to a guy like Harper or Stott or Terry Turner, these guys, check their numbers out, man. They've had great careers, all these guys. And if you just go up there and say, you're hit third and walk away, but Tom's handles it right. He communicates with them. He gets feedback from them. He acts as coaches. He's talked to me. He's talked to Charlie. And he's going to gather all this info, and I'm sure you're going to see a bunch of lineup changes in spring training, and we'll see which one works and which one doesn't.
You know what players don't do? And I remember Milt Thompson telling me when he was the hitting coach, and he got fired because these guys didn't hit, but it wasn't his fault. He asked players to choke up on the bat. I can use all five fingers and not count to five of players in baseball.
Yeah, they don't do it.
That choke up on the bat.
They don't do it.
People don't understand. It's sad that people didn't see the way the game really should have been played when you guys played. And I'm not going the old man on the lawn nonsense. It's baseball. And, but, you know, if you have two strikes, choke up a little bit on the bat. Get a little bit more back control. You know, Barry Bonds, who cheated, but he still hit home runs choking up on the bat. Before he cheated.
You know what I hate to see, Howard? I listen to these interviews, especially last year. I haven't listened too much this year because they haven't really started. I hear players say, they talk about hitting, and they say, I want to have my A1 swing on every pitch. Now, I know I've been out of baseball for a while as far as playing. You're going to tell me when the count's 2-0 or 3-1, go ahead and have your A1 swing. When the count's 0-2 and 1-2, you got a battle. You are in defensive mode. You're trying to protect. You're trying to put the ball in play. So you're not having an A1 swing when the count's 1-2 or 0-2. to get back in the count, put the A1 swing. But I literally hear these guys say, I want my A1 swing every single time. It doesn't happen. And these pitchers, I'm telling you, they'll have a field day. You try to put an A1 swing every time on with a count 0-2 and 1-2, they will exploit you in a minute. And that's the kind of stuff that when I hear it, I'm going, oh, no. There's a fight mode when you get in. When you're 0-2, you're fighting. You're doing everything in your power to make this a tough out. You're trying to put the ball in play, make somebody catch the ball. But that A1 swing, you're right. Yeah, I seen Schmitty choke up on that.
Yeah, there's times he did.
Bonds did it every at bat. Every at bat he choked up. I mean, it's just a different way of hitting now.
You know, it's amazing. And managers, they can talk nicely. You were a manager for what, 4 years?
Yeah, with the Phillies.
Once with San Diego and 3 with the Phillies. All right.
4 with the Phillies.
So, and you were a fiery guy. Yeah, and Dallas Green, I remember, it's unfortunately people don't remember Dallas. Was he a great X and O's? I'm not talking football, but on the baseball field, but he got players to play. He got you guys in 80 to play. But you can't do that. Like, you were a fiery guy. You can't yell. You know, how difficult is it for a manager? When you were a manager, you couldn't manage the same way today because you can't yell at guys.
No, you can't. They're different personalities. I don't want to say they're sensitive, but if you make a
decision. I will. They are sensitive.
Well, you can say it. if you make a decision, they want to know why. You know, before it was, the manager told you to do this, do it. That's how we were taught to play. He's running the team, do it. You might not like it, go in and talk to him after the game, but you did it. And today, you got to be careful of how you approach guys. I will say that our team, we have some veterans on this team that I think if Tomps wanted to yell at them, I don't think he would hurt their feelings. But Tomps gets his point across, believe me, behind closed doors. I've seen it. I know he comes across when he does a press conference. Oh, everyone says, doesn't he ever rip anybody, blah, blah, blah. No, he doesn't on TV, but I've seen him get upset, and he had every right to be upset, and he would go one-on-one with somebody, and nobody would know about it. Nobody would know about it. That's how you got to do it now, whereas before, you got confronted as soon as you hit that dugout step if you didn't do something. And we didn't even think anything of it at the time. Now, if you did that, players might call their agents. The agents call the GM. The GM says, hey, we might have to do something here. It's just different. It's a different era. There's no question. These guys are great athletes. They're bigger, faster, stronger. The game just played completely different now.
Well, the agents call the teams and say, my pitcher, you know, I don't want him going more than 6 innings because all they care about is the next contract so he doesn't build up his innings so he can deal. It's nonsense. It's just the agents dictate. They dictate too much. And the teams, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'd say, shove it up your rear end. We're going to run this baseball team the way we want to run it. And you can't do that. You can't allow that to happen. And you know it does, right?
Oh, it does. Oh, I just saw it on TV the other day. Devers says, I'm not playing. I'm the third baseman. They just got Bregman. He says, I'm not moving. I mean, if you believe that, okay, go talk to the manager. This went nationwide. I'm not moving. I just signed a big contract. They told me I'm the third baseman. That would never have happened back then. Now, if you've got a beef with Cora, you go in and say, man, hey, when I signed this contract, they told me I was playing third base. Now we get Bregman. And I'm sure that Cora will handle the situation. And maybe this kid Devers maybe spoke out of turn, but no one would ever thought of doing that to the manager or whoever's running the GM. This is my position. I don't know why you went out and got this guy. That would have never happened.
Well, it never happened. You, Lou Piniella, Dallas Green, I can think of a lot of guys that are fiery, couldn't exist in today's game.
No, we wouldn't. No. We know it. I mean, I know it. I mean, we talk about that all the time. I talk with Charlie about it. Charlie says, we'd have no chance now. I said, you're right. We'd have no chance.
No chance. All right. Defense is a lost art in too many cases. How important is defense for a baseball team? I remember when you guys, again, I always want to go back because the game was the game was great then. Players might not have been as athletic, but right. the game was great. But defense, you would cut down, you know, according to statistics, at least a half a run a game by your defense. So how important is your defense to win games?
Our defense is important, very important. And that's the next area I was going to go with you. You know, everyone's talking about throw 98, throw 99. Don't worry about throwing strikes. I look at our team right now, with the exception of Wheeler. Wheeler can throw 97, 98. Those other guys, Nola, Sanchez, Ranger, Lizardo, they pitch. 93, 92, up, down, in, out. They pitch. That's how you're supposed to do it. And when you pitch, you're going to get a lot of action in the infield. You're going to get ground ball. You got to make plays behind those guys. Wheeler can get in a jam and punch out two guys in a row. These guys, they make you put the ball in play, which I like. I like our pitching staff. I like the fact that they attack hitters with different pitches. They're not looking for 98 every pitch. And I really, that's why I think the depth of our pitch, our five starters are as good as anybody out. And I'm excluding the Dodgers because they're on another planet with the way they sign pitchers and everything. But I like our pitching staff, but if they got to complement one another. When they put the ball in play, we got to catch it.
Okay, and the left side of the Phillies infield, Bohm has gotten a little bit better. I give him credit for working on it. All right. And I'm going to give you, I got an injection here. I'm going to give you the truth serum. Should, let it sit. Okay, let it sit. Okay, there it's in. I got the truth serum in there. Does Trey Turner have to move to the outfield? Or should he move to the outfield? I want the truth and nothing but the truth.
Right? You mean right now? No, not right now. Maybe 3-4 years down the road. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you some truth serum.
Okay.
Did the Washington Nationals win a World Series? Have they ever won a World Series?
They have won.
Yeah. Who was the shortstop?
It was Trey Turner.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah,
you
but you can't you give wait, me that wait, example.
Wait. You don't win a championship with a guy that can't catch the ball or a guy you don't want the ball hit to. Well, can he get better? Yes, he can get better. He can get better. But you won a World Series in Washington with Trey Turner as a shortstop. I think we can win a World Series with Trey Turner right now. Now,
yeah, I don't know what the rest of their team was like.
Three years down the road, maybe not. He's still a young guy as far as he's got a great body. He flies. He works. I think sometimes mentally he gets out of sync a little bit. The concentration level sort of fades every now and then. But for the most part, I think we can win with him. I do. That's short.
Okay. Defensively, he's...
I don't want to hear about that. You're going to talk about defensive stats?
I don't want the stats. Defensively, he's at best average. Right?
They're the
worst
stats in baseball.
Oh, I don't like them either.
Defensive numbers are the worst.
Yeah, but at defense, he's at best average. All right? And
according to the defense, yeah. According to the numbers, yes. Yeah.
You know the way it was. I mean, you only won, unfortunately, two gold gloves because Davey Concepcion had all that big red machine nonsense.
Well, plus he hit 300. That's what they judged that stuff on batting average back then. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, Trey Turner's a great guy, and I respect him for that. He's a terrific guy. Yeah. But and he should be a good hitter, and he probably will be a good hitter again. Okay. All right. But defensively, when I see him kind of reach out and do, you know, and backhand this when he can get in. Like you get in front of the ball. I don't even get me started. It's not good defense. All right? That's my truth serum.
Okay, your truth serum. Well, you might have some validity to it, but I watch him play. I've seen him play 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and I'm going, wow. And then maybe the next week I'll say, whoop, what happened? I don't think it's physical. I think mentally sometimes his brain, he starts to wander a little bit, whether maybe he's not hitting or maybe he missed a ball he thought he should have had that carries over. I don't think he's a liability to it. I really don't. This is just me talking. Now, if you ask me that in 3 years, I might say, you know what, Howard, you might have some merit there. We might have to move into the outfield. But right now, I'm saying no. I'm saying no right now.
I saw a comment. Somebody sent in a comment that if the Phillies had Hoskins, and I liked Rhys Hoskins, he worked the pitcher, made contact. He would hit 25 to 30 home runs, right. Maybe 260. The Phillies needed him at first base. And I guess that year he wasn't there. I guess that's the year he got hurt, right? Is that the year he got hurt?
Yes.
When you played Arizona.
Yeah.
But then they needed him to come back once he was healthy. I just think this team is, well, I'll ask you, would this team be better? Harper in right, Castellanos in left, and you just mix around those other fourth and fifth outfielders out there in center, and Hoskins at first. Would this team be better?
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be better, but Reese brings another element. He's a guy that really works pitchers. Now, he's going to strike out, but he still works pitchers. And when he's going in a slump, he might go 0 for 2 and get 2 walks. He doesn't go 0 for 4 with 4 clean outs. You know what I'm saying? He finds a way to get on base. And sometimes when things aren't going well, you need a guy like that. Probably when you look at it, he could have added another dimension to our team by playing first base. You know, but again, he talked with Harp, and you know, Harp said he'd do whatever he wanted. He said, "You want me to play first? I'll play first. You want me to play right?" So it wasn't a matter of Harp saying, "No, I'm playing first." They talked to Harp, and they asked Harp what he'd like to do, and then Harp says, "I don't want to move anybody out, but if you want me to play first, I'll play first." And I thought he did it. If you think about it, Howard, for his first year there, he did a real good job.
He's going to win a Gold Glove. There's no doubt, man. He's going to win a Gold Glove.
Yeah, he does work hard. And he's a very good athlete. So, and he's
quick,
and you know, okay.
You could put him at short, he'd do good.
Well, probably could.
Maybe not short.
Yeah, right. No, you got to put somebody else at short. I've already made that point. I know. That's all right. I'm by that. All right. Somebody else brought up a comment, and I remember this, and I don't know if you remember this. 1982, it's the off season, and you were trying to get a new contract, and you weren't going to get it. I found out. So during a commercial break, when I was working talk radio on the first sports talk station I worked at, I called you during a commercial break. I said, "Bo, I just, I had this, let me find out what's going on." So I called you, and you were already in Florida, and I said, "Bo, you're going to get your contract." He says, "No, they're not going to give me a contract. They're trading me to the Cubs." I said, "For what?" He says, "For Devon De Jesus." I says, "Can we go on the air?" And you say, "Yes." We go on the air, and we talk about the Phillies are going to trade you. You talk about it, get Devon De Jesus, and all of a sudden, the next day, Paul Owens went crazy on me. He was so pissed at me. But he's not pissed at me. I'm just doing my job, and you're, telling me what you know. And the Cubs people called it off because they were so in love with Devon De Jesus that they called off the trade. 3 weeks later, Dallas Green, we reworked the trade and included Ryne Sandberg.
Yep.
And the guy said it's the worst trade in baseball, but Sandberg had no place to play with the Phillies. He could only be a second baseman because of his arm.
Right.
So he ended up being a Hall of Famer and all that.
Right.
So if you hadn't said that, and I hadn't called you, now, I don't know where Ryne Sandberg would have ended up eventually, but the trade would have happened without Sandberg. And his whole history, and I wish him the best. He's recovering from cancer, and
yeah,
I wish him well.
But
his whole history probably would have been different. You remember all that?
I do remember that. Now, I'm gonna tell you how that transpired. This was in between Ruley Carpenter selling the team to Bill Giles Group. Before that transaction occurred, Ruley called me up to his office and said, "I'm going to offer you a 3 or 4 year deal." Because I said, I was judging my thing on Dave Cepcione. He just signed a 3 year. I said, "Ruley, I want 3 years." And he says, "You got 3 years? Maybe I'll throw in an option in this." Perfect. So now, lo and behold, the deal goes through, and Bill's the new owner. And before I talked to Bill, I talked to Ruley, and I said, "Ruley, what about our agreement?" He goes, "Oh, we're good." I talked to Bill. it's good. I said, so I'm going to get a 3-year deal. And he goes, yeah. So I said, I was all in. I said, okay, perfect. So lo and behold, 2 or 3 days later, Bill calls me and says, can you come up to the office? And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to let me sign this 3-year deal. And he says, you know, the more I've been thinking about this, I'm not going to give you a 3-year deal. I said, what do you mean? He says, I can't see us giving you 3 years. He says, I'll give you a year and an option. I said, I'm not signing that. I said, I'm not signing that. And he says, well, we don't really have any other options. I said, yeah, we do. I said, I'm 5-10. Pick a team, and I'll tell you if I'll go there. That's how this happened. And he says, he mentioned a couple teams. I said, I'm not going there. I'm going to go there. Then he said, I got a call from off the, it doesn't matter now. It's been, Dallas has passed away. Dallas called me and said, would you come over here? I said, yeah, in a minute.
That's right. Dallas was the president of the Cubs at the time.
Exactly. He called me. And
he knew Sandberg. So I wait a minute.
Well, what he said to me, he says, I'm going to give you a 4-year deal. This is before I went over there. And he says, I think I got this deal made. And he said, I'm trying to get him to throw in Sandberg. And he asked me, he says, what do you got on Sandberg? I said, I like Sandberg. I said, not a lot of power, hits the ball the other way, good hands, can run, great guy. And he says, I think I can get him. I said, and he says, what do you think? I said, get him. I said, I like Sandberg. And he got it done. And as you said, the rest is history. Sandberg learned how to hit. He hit home runs, Hall of Famer. But that's how that went down. I would have never got traded. I would have loved to have played my whole career in Philadelphia. But when they reneged on that deal, I'm done. I'm done. You know, it was like, okay. And hindsight being 2020, I probably should have said, okay, give me the year and the option, and I'll play myself into another contract. But I was so upset because of the way it unfolded. I said, I can't deal with this. I said, you guys lied to me. I said, I'm out.
And you know what? That was part of the dynamic, which I didn't know. I guess I knew that, but I didn't really remember all that.
Right.
But the reality is, for whatever reason, I'm in a commercial break, and I said, I knew you were supposed to meet that day, because I guess we had talked.
Right.
And you told me, they're not going to give me the contract, and I'm traded. I traded to the Cubs. I says, hold on. We're going to go on the air. And then you told everybody what was going to happen. The Cubs fans went ballistic because they loved De Jesus. It was a nice player, nothing special.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Okay, they loved De Jesus. And the Cubs said, we can't make the deal. People are going nuts.
Right.
And that's when they threw, a few weeks later, they threw Sandberg in. Sandberg would have never, if we didn't speak that night, Sandberg would have probably never been a Chicago Cub.
You're right. Because when I saw Sandberg, I could see he had tools, man. He could catch the ball, he could run, but every time he would swing the bat, he would hit the ball. You know, like, he was a line drive hitter. Good player. But this kid turned out to be great, and, you know, you said the Cub fans didn't want De Jesus to go, and I know the Philly fans didn't want me to go, so it was it was one of those things where I basically pushed the button because I want, after all that confusion and everything. And then I called Rooley. I said, hey, Rooley, what's going on here, man? He says, Bo, he says, when I talked with Bill, this was done. I said, well, it's not done. And I appreciate you being honest with me and everything. Because Rooley, to me, Rooley was a great owner.
Oh, terrific.
The only thing I wish he would have done is, before he turned the reins over to Bill, let me sign that contract, then there wouldn't have been an issue, but it didn't.
Yeah, it's just, all right, so now we get down to, everybody likes to look at wins. It doesn't mean anything unless you do it in the playoffs. I think the Phillies over-under this year is like 92, which is a nice number. I don't know what I would take. Would you think this team, first of all, if they win 92, they're probably going to be in first place. I don't think that Mets are going to win 95 to 100.
I don't either.
So, all right, so you think the Phillies are better than the Mets.
Yes.
So how many wins do you think the Phillies are going to get, and how many wins do you think the Mets are going to get?
I think we can get between 95 and 97 wins.
Really?
Hey,
wow.
If healthy. I'm telling you, this rotation is
Yeah,
good.
But Suarez has been hurt. You know,
you're right. I just said if they're healthy, that's important. That's really, really important.
Yep.
If they're healthy, we can win 95 ball games.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question. They got Soto. Soto's a good offensive player.
Yeah.
Defensively, he's okay.
Defensively, he's average.
He's okay. But pitching-wise, they can't hold a candle to us.
How do you know they're not going to do anything before the season?
Well, maybe they might. If they do, then we'll reevaluate this. But right now, I think our rotation is better than the Mets rotation. I know our bullpen's better than the Mets bullpen.
Who's your closer? I didn't even ask you that. Who the hell is the closer?
We got a lot of guys down there.
Great. Yeah, it's just by committee.
I know you're not on Alvarado because he's too erratic.
Correct.
Kirkering, I love. And Romano from Toronto, if he came off Tommy John or whatever he had.
Yeah.
He had some good years with Toronto. You got three arms down there, man, that are really, really good. And we're talking about arms. We haven't even brought up Painter. This guy's a stud.
When is he going to? He won't pitch until halfway through the season, right?
Probably. They're taking their time, which they should. There's no need. I don't even think he's going to pitch in a game down here. I really don't think.
No, probably not.
He's doing sides. He's staying in the warm weather. You know, when the teams break, he probably would have gone to Double A or Triple A. Why make him go up there in the cold weather in April? I think they're going to keep him down here. This is just me talking, and I think he's going to gradually get into it. Maybe in May, go to Double A. After maybe 8 or 9 starts, go to Triple A. And if everything's right, this guy is a force, a big time force.
Okay,
he's got number one stuff. I'm not exaggerating here.
I'm writing this all down.
Write it down.
Rob Thompson saved my lineup. He said he was going to save my lineup. I hope he brings it back out this year.
You might see your lineup this spring.
Okay. It's about time. So 95 to 97.
Yep.
And the closers are going to be lights out.
I said we got three guys that can. I said if we got three guys down there with great arms that can close games.
Okay. All right.
Put words in my mouth.
I can find somebody in the grocery store with a great arm, but can he pitch?
These guys can pitch.
Right. Hey, I always have, whether it's doing this or just talking to you, I always have fun talking to you. It's so great. You came to the Phillies in 1970.
Right.
I started covering sports in 1976. So I got to know you from that point. Actually, I was down there, not really as my job, just I was spinning records for disc jockeys at WFIL Radio. But I would come down there and hold that little microphone and do all that nonsense. Actually, it started my career. So I got to know you really from 76. And you've always been a loudmouth. And I'll say this about you. It's like today, players are so sensitive. So sensitive. Yeah. I'm telling you, I would come into that locker room and I had said something and you'd start yelling at me. You and there might be somebody else yelling at me. 30 seconds later, we got over it and we're laughing. You know, you gotta let that stuff go.
I will say this. As long as I've been in Philly, which has been longer than anybody, you would come down every day, whether you ripped somebody or complimented somebody, you never backed away. You know, a lot of times guys take shots at people. You say, when's this guy coming in? I got to talk to him. You were there every day. So if we had a beef, you took it. Or you said, this is what my thought process was. And I respect that. To this day, people don't do that. They rip you and you don't see them for 2 months. Or they never go to a game. They watch it on TV. The part that you go every day, that means a lot. And I think it means a lot to players, even today. That if you're going to take a shot or, you know, not rip somebody, say what you saw, you go down there. And that's why you can be critical of people, because you go to the games. I don't want people being critical of me when they've never seen me play or they've watched it on TV. Don't make a judgment on me on a play that I should have made when you never come to the ballpark. I don't understand that.
It's amazing.
I will say this. You came through thick and thin, whether it was good, bad, indifferent, and you did your thing. And I had a lot of respect. Everybody in our clubhouse on that 18, there were a lot of guys that got on that didn't like what you did. But they liked the fact that you came every day. There's no question about that.
You know, I'll tell you a quick story. Jose Mesa, relief pitcher for the Phillies.
Remember Jose?
Okay. Jose Mesa and Randy Wolf got involved in the fight. Now Randy and I get along great. You know, he came down and joined the fray. It wasn't a physical fight, but it was a screaming match. So Jose Mesa's, first of all, he gives up a home run, and the next batter he hits, Cardinals. It was against the Cardinals. Right. The next batter he drills. All right. So I said, I still don't want, even though I could say the word on the air, I'll call him, you know, a wimp. And I used another word.
Right.
But I said on the air, a wimp. He's a wimp for hitting the next guy. He didn't hit the home run, and you made the pitch. So he comes up to me, you call me a, began with a P. You call me, I said, I didn't call you that, but that's what you are. That's what you are. I said, hitting the guy after the guy hits a home run. That's what you are. And he starts yelling at me. And then it was in the walkway going from the clubhouse to the dugout.
Yeah.
And he's yelling at me. And then Randy Wolf joins in. I said, you guys, stop already. Will you stop? And then Terry Francona, we had a little yelling match in the clubhouse one time. It's just, it is what it is. You know, but I'm there. It's just, come on.
I will
just
say this. You would have been outweighed in that fight.
I would have been
one of those 10-second TKOs, Howard.
Yeah, I would have been crushed. Hey, Bo, it's always fun. I'll see you soon.
You come? Are you coming down?
Yeah, I'm gonna come down. So I got to come down. I got to create some, you know, whatever.
would like to see you too.
Yeah, I know. I'll have a new lineup.
Especially if he uses one of your lineups.
I'm gonna be right down there the next day. I says, hey, you took my idea. It's great.
How about if we get zeros for that whole game? Shut out with your lineup.
Well, I say it's only one game. He told me how many games.
Spring training.
It's spring training. That's exactly right. Hey, I appreciate it. Enjoy it, buddy. And I'll be talking to you. Thanks.
I'll come down now the next 2 days because it's getting cold here.
Okay. Well, it's not
next week. Next week's
25 degrees here, so it's better there.
Well, yeah, I'll take what's here. Okay. 5 degrees.
All right. Hey, thanks
all right,
again.
Now, take care of yourself.
Terrific. Thanks. All right. Take care. Larry Boa, who's always, the truth serum didn't quite get me where he should have gone, but, you know, you do what you got to do. All right. Thanks again to our sponsor, but I'm not done yet because I got some other things to say. Yeah, I'm going to take callers. We're going to take a little bit of a break. But I want to thank ABC Tickets for being part of this wonderful, sensational podcast. There you see it, ABC Tickets. They are anywhere in the world you need tickets, these guys can find them and get them for you, for sure, absolutely. 800-355-5555. All right, I got to talk about the Eagles because there's a lot of things coming up. The Sixers, and we're going to take calls. See, I don't know if I could, they're not called to stream. But anyway, we put the link out there. And it was very successful last time and the last show, and we're going to do it again. I'm going to take a small break, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. All right. I saw a question. How can we get in? And somebody just, I see a comment here. Bo was an inspiration to me. Love that guy. I mean, how can you not? The intensity and everything he does. And thanks to Ted for says awesome interview as always. You know, I just have fun with these guys because they're honest with me. All right. So to get in, if you want to be a part of the show, the link to get in is at the top of every social media, every one of my social media outlets, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So you can click on and you can get in. All right, I'm going to take get to some people that want to be. I got to find a name for the podcasters, podcast callers or podcast participants or whatever. All right, the Eagles.
You know,
the one thing is, who is that? How do you pronounce your name?
Cassio.
Who is that?
Cassio. You know me.
I can't hear it.
Cassio.
Hey, Cassio, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You have a question there?
Listen, I'm concerned about our OC. Our fourth or fifth? Yeah, what are we doing here, Howie?
No, what price? Every good team, here's what you got to understand. Good team loses coaches because other teams think that they've done a really good job. Kellen Moore did a really good job. You knew he had a chance to be a head coach. So the Detroit Lions lost their offensive coordinator who became a head coach somewhere. You know, it happens. But I think Kevin Petullo, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring that up. Kevin Petullo is a very sharp offensive guy. Yeah, he's worked with them. He's worked with Jalen Hurts. He's worked with the offense. Nick Sirianni understands him. They've worked together for 8 years and all the years that Nick Sirianni has been with the Eagles. So I think they're going to be fine. Don't build in an excuse. Do not build in an excuse because they're changing offensive coordinators. You know, it happens. You know, they changed defensive coordinators and it got better, right? So, you know, it happens. And
it became great.
The players got to make plays. The players got to make plays. Remember that.
That's true. So being though it's, what's our fourth or fifth offensive coordinator?
It doesn't even matter. I'm not even counting. I'm not even counting.
I'm going to go to you because you provide the truth.
And nothing but the truth shall help me God.
We had the internal with Brian Johnson. That was a catastrophe. Nothing was good.
Yeah, but you know, let me address that a little bit. Brian Johnson's done a good job. He's with the Washington, whatever they are these days, the Commanders, Commodores, whatever. Okay. And that quarterback, was Rookie of the Year, right? Was he the Rookie of the Year?
He was.
Okay.
RG3 vibes, by the way.
What's that?
RG3 vibes. I don't think RG3 didn't do anything. No, exactly. I think this is a one-year.
Okay.
Stint.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But
next
but
year,
I don't know
it's
that
RG3 different.
Had a good first year. But whatever. So hey, he wasn't as good as Kellen Moore. But you have just got. Will you relax? Just relax. All right. It's spelled R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
It's also spelled E-A-G-L-E-S.
What's that?
We're running it back, baby.
Oh, okay. Well, if you listen to the mayor of Philadelphia, I don't even know how to spell Eagles anymore. Hey, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks
for joining the show. All right, before we get our next participant, I do want to mention the free agent situation with the Eagles. Now, Josh Sweat is a free agent. I don't think he'll be back. He's going to get more money than the Eagles really want to pay him. And you can't pay everybody in football. There's a salary cap. I don't think Josh Sweat will be back. I don't think Milt Williams will be back. He's going to get a big number too. Whenever a team wins and players play really well, other teams get excited, and then they go after those players. Now, Becton's an interesting situation. He's going to get a lot of money, or he's going to get a big offer. Is he going to get it from the Eagles? I don't know if they're going to offer him what somebody else offers him. But the Eagles always find depth, so they hope that they're going to be okay there. It's just, I don't know about Slay. It doesn't worry me if Slay's back or not back. It just, it does it make any, well, he had a good second half of the year. He did have a good second half of the year, but you have two studs, Quinyon Mitchell, who is ranked, he's the top Eagle of the top 100 defensive players projected for next year for odds. Quinyon Mitchell is like somewhere in the top 20, I believe it is, ahead of any other Eagle. Then you got Cooper DeJean. Now, I think Cooper's so athletic, they probably want to keep him where he is, but I don't know that he can't play corner. And I still think Isaiah Rodgers can play corner. So again, you got to worry about, you have to concern yourself with the salary cap. You really do have to concern yourself with the cap because they can't sign anybody. So, and I think, again, I want to mention Kevin Petullo, I think, is really going to do a good job for the Eagles. I've respected him since I've gotten to know what he does, how he connects. He's really in there with the offensive game plan a lot of times. And I think he's going to do a good job. No more excuses. Well, they're changing. It's another offensive coordinator. It happens. It happens whether they're good or whether they're bad. The reasons that teams change, and it happens with a lot of teams. Hey, heck, at Super Bowl teams, rosters change by at least 15 to 18 players almost every year. So you got to think about that too. All right, so if you have any questions about the Eagles, again, the link is on all the social media platforms. The Sixers. Spot rank. Do we have somebody there before I get into the
all
Sixers?
All right, here we go.
All right, go ahead. Twist the Wizard, are you there? No face, but are you there?
There you go.
Hey, so should I call you Twist?
Yeah, you call me Twist.
All right, Twist. Go ahead.
So how?
All right, how you doing?
Yeah, so I want to know, as far as the roster is concerned, who do you think we're going to keep on the Eagles, and who do you think we're most likely going to let go?
Well, I just thought, I think Sweat's gone, and I think Milt Williams is gone. And they're just going to get too much money somewhere else. Becton will be interesting. He really did a hell of a job when he jumped in and did, you know, he really filled in great. He became a starter. So, you know, and then there's going to be some fringe players, players that really don't make a difference. There's going to be young guys that might want to get. It's like, remember when T.J. Edwards left? Young guy, didn't get a lot, but he got more because of the way he played. He got more because of the way he played with the Eagles. Then the Eagles wanted to pay him. So there's going to be players that have done a good job here that the Eagles have no rights to and can't keep. It's going to be interesting, but it's all going to start to flow. Probably not anytime soon. I don't know the exact date when teams can sign, when they're eligible to sign players, when they technically become free agents. But the Eagles, hey, listen, as soon as that Super Bowl is over, they're already working, and they were working before, on what's there in the college ranks. And with Sweat, you're probably going to get a third-round compensatory pick. So do you want to sign him to 3 or 4 years? Had a hell of a year, but he really did a nice job. Sometimes you just got to move on, and you got to accept it and just move on. All right?
Yeah.
You good with that? All right.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right. Thanks for no jumping problem. In, Twist. All right, take care. All right, let me talk about the Sixers before we have a chance to possibly go back to somebody. The Sixers, like, who cares, right? It's too bad. Tomorrow night or Wednesday, Thursday night, tomorrow, depending on when you're watching this, Thursday night, they're playing the Celtics. Embiid should play because he's had, 6 months off before he played. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic, obviously. He had the All-Star break. The All-Star break, which, by the way, I think the All-Star game is a joke. All right, the way they set it up, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Let's move on. They got to have it because it's extra money for the NBA. But Embiid should play against the Celtics. But here's what I'm going to tell you. And there's a Twitter site, and I look at it, and this guy's really, really, really sharp. I think his name is Michael, but it's SpotRack, SpotRac. Let me see if I can get for sure what his first name is. But it's on the website, let me see here. Let me see, Michael. I think it's pretty much, yeah, it's Michael. Michael, all right, so here's where the Sixers are buried. Here's where they are buried. Listen to these numbers. This is like, were they on drugs when they signed Joel Embiid? Joel Embiid, as of like a week or two ago, was owed, get this number, $273,839,503. So just to round it out for you, because it's hard to absorb that numbers, Joel Embiid is owed $274 million. $274 million. You're crazy. That's through the 28-29 season. I don't know if he'll even be able to walk in 27, let alone 28-29. And how many games is he going to play? What's he going to play, 30 games this year? It's a joke. It really is a joke. Paul George, terrible signing, and they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do Embiid. Paul George was given a four-year max contract. Here's what he is owed. $186 million, these are dollars, by the way, $186,982,040 through 27-28. It's just, that's over $460 million combined. You got to be kidding me. They're buried for years. And I've said this, and people got to understand this. The 76ers are 2 to 3 years away. No, excuse me. They're 3 to 4 years away from being 3 to 4 years away from being 3 to 4 years away. Buried is the way it is. I see some comments here. The guy says, and I can't catch his name, is okay with Kevin Betullo. Who's going to call plays? I imagine, and that was from Dave. I imagine Kevin Betullo is probably going to. It's not going to be Nick Sirianni. It's going to be Kevin Betullo. I think that one guy said the Sixers, he can't even watch them. Yeah, I guess it is hard to watch. Daryl Morey, greatest GM in NBA history? No, he's obviously making a joke. A guy reminds me, Paul George, the game before the All-Star break, put up two more points than I would have in that game. Two more means he put up two. Two more points than me in 30-plus minutes the other night. I could have played 48, and he still was only 2 points more than I am. So, anyway, I do appreciate all the people. It's crazy, the things that are going on right now in sports. The Phillies, I don't agree with Larry Boa. I don't agree that they're better than the Mets. They do have a better starting staff. I will say that. They do have a better starting staff. All right. If we have no more people to jump in, we will call it a day, night, and Saturday morning. I'm working on, Brandon Graham said he would come back, so I'm working on Brandon on Saturday morning. And Saturday morning is when people are used to calling in. I got to come up with a term. Can you help me with a term for people that call in to this show? Can you help me with a term? Again, we're on every social media platform. Well, not every, but we're on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And you certainly can subscribe to YouTube, and then the shows will pop up whenever you want to watch the shows. So I appreciate people that were a part of it tonight. Larry Ball was great. We'll have Larry Ball back on sometime during the year. He still works, for people that don't understand. He's an advisor to the general manager, is his title. And he's asked to scout some players sometimes in the minor leagues. He's got some good ideas. Whether they use them or not is another story, because baseball has changed. Again, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Randy over there on the other side. Thanks to Creative Outfit. And thanks to ABC Tickets. ABC. 30 years. 30 years. Whenever I needed a ticket, ABC was there. And their number is 800-355-5555. Thanks again. Thanks for joining us. And on radio, you'd say, if I said I see you on Saturday, you wouldn't really see me. But now you really will see me on Saturday. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Appointment. Make the appointment. Be there. Thank you, and have a great day.